hearing about the incredible pastime of Krishna's dealing with Agasura. What does agha mean? Sinful. And he was extremely envious. Oh, he could not tolerate to see Krishna's pastimes with the cowherd boys. Why? Because there was so much bliss there. There was so much ecstasy exchanged, rasa, exchanged between Krishna and his dear, dear, dear devotees. Krita punja punja sakyam vicharu krita punja punja. That they had gained the intimacy, the ability to so intimately associate with Krishna through heaps of bhakti punya, of acting to please Krishna through unlimited, practically speaking, unlimited acts for Krishna's pleasure, done actually for Krishna's pleasure, not superficially for Krishna's pleasure. That the fruit of that devotional service was the ability to associate with Krishna. In other words, the fruit of devotional service is simply devotional service. This is the most wonderful attainment. The means of action of devotional service is actually none different from the end. But what must increase is the intimacy and the devotion in the service. Because if we keep things on an external level, then what must happen is that we are external. And if we are external, then we're dealing with the external energy. And if we're dealing with the external energy, we will undoubtedly fall victim to the external energy. Undoubtedly. So one must, depending upon the metaphor one uses, one must go deep or one must go high. But one must pierce through the surface of the material level and actually perform activities for Krishna's pleasure. Anya vidasita sanyam jnana kamana vitam anukulena Krishna anushilanam bhakti. That is actually bhakti. I heard Prabhupada speaking in one lecture. I heard it this morning, but obviously he didn't deliver it this morning. But 72 in Vrindavan, he was saying that the soul is now covered. And the process of devotional service, as described in Pancharatna, is sarva upadhi. Upadhi means coverings or designations. Vinirmuktam, to remove them. Tat paradvena nirmalam, so that all that is left is the actual pure self, the pure soul. Rishikena, rishikena sevanam bhakti vichite. And then in that condition one acts for Krishna's pleasure. So everything else is a covering over the soul. And then Prabhupada gave an example. Just imagine how much you can enjoy eating if your tongue is covered with a tongue glove or something. There's no question of enjoyment. That covering must be removed. So similarly, if we actually wish to enjoy our relationship, or enjoy anything, because we're souls, we're eternal souls, we know this from Shastra, then the coverings over the soul must be removed. Otherwise there's no question of actually enjoyment any more than one can enjoy eating with one's tongue covered. I thought that was such a wonderful, striking example. So the cowherd boys, although the pastime of Krishna killing Agasura, it's very, very simple on a level, But what we should understand is going on is these uncovered pure entities are enjoying heart to heart with Krishna. This is all that's going on in different varieties in all of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and others. There is simply heart to heart dealings with Krishna, and Krishna through his Lila Maya, his Yoga Maya, his internal energy, is making arrangements to increase the ecstasies, the heart-to-heart exchanges between these intimate, dearest devotees and Krishna himself. So, the boys had just entered, clapping their hands and laughing and depending upon Krishna. They entered into the mouth of the serpent. His terrible, wide, gaping mouth. Text 25. Now, Krishna didn't enter. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is situated as Antayami. What does Antayami mean? The super soul, the internal witness. In the core of everyone's heart, he heard the boys talking amongst themselves about the artificial python. They thought because the python was sitting, he was so huge and he was so still, he appeared to be like a sculptured statue of a python. And they were saying, this must be something Krishna has created just for our pleasure. Some said that, and others said, no, it's actually a python. And they said, anyway, Krishna will take care of us. He'll kill just as he killed Bakasura. So unknown to them, Krishna was hearing that. But unknown to them, it was actually Agasura, a demon who had appeared as Agajara, a python. Krishna, knowing this, wanted to forbid his associates to enter the demon's mouth. Now, what is striking about that?
Krishna.
He wanted to forbid them to enter the demon's mouth. And yet, in the same text, Krishna is the Antayami, the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead. He wanted something to happen. And yet, the boys walked in anyway. He wanted them to not enter. And the boys went in. Does that sound mysterious? Something very wonderful we shall hear. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains. Prabhupada doesn't have a purport to this text. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, just as Krishna, no, okay, 25, excuse me. Hearing the boys talk about the snake as if it was something unreal, Krishna began to think, what is actually a snake's mouth? What is actually a snake's mouth, my friends, think is some wonderful scenery of Vrindavan. This is not just a snake, but the demon named Agasura. How did Krishna know this? Krishna knows everything because he is situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, Akila Bhutaritstitaha, as the Antayami. Krishna then decided to prevent his boyfriend from entering the snake's mouth. The next text, Vishwanath, will say something very interesting. In the meantime, while Krishna was considering how to stop them, all the cowherd boys entered the mouth of the demon. The demon, however, did not swallow them, for he was thinking of his own relatives who had been killed by Krishna, and he was just waiting for Krishna to enter his mouth so that he could close his mouth and kill Krishna. it wouldn't be satisfactory for him to kill the other boys alone. He wanted to kill Krishna. Prabhupada doesn't have a purport. Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur says, just as Krishna was deciding to stop them, the boys entered the serpent's mouth. But the serpent did not swallow them. Why didn't he swallow them? The demon was remembering the death of his brother and sister at the hands of the Lord. So he was waiting for Krishna. His brother was Bakasura, younger brother, and Putana was his sister. One should not think that Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti, what does that mean? What is Satya Sankalpa? What is Sankalpa? But in the sense of I've made this determination that this will happen. It's like a determination is the only English word that I can think of for it. And satya means that it's true, it's reality. Satya sankalpa, shakti. Krishna has a potency. Sometimes it is called icha shakti. That whatever he desires, after all, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's all powerful. What he desires is reality. So one should not think, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that Krishna's Satya Sankalpa potency, his Shakti, his potency that fulfills every desire of the Lord, was thwarted because Krishna could not stop the boys from entering the serpent's mouth, though he wanted to. On the other hand, Krishna's devotees had a desire to be saved by Krishna if by chance they were swallowed by the demon. So Krishna desired what? Excuse me? No, what Krishna desired that they should not walk in the mouth. And what did the boys desire? They wanted to be saved by Krishna, and Krishna to exhibit heroic activities to save them. Of the two desires, the desire of the devotee prevails according to the principle that the Lord is controlled by his devotees. This was perfectly arranged by Krishna's ever-watchful Lila Shakti, his internal energy, which harmonizes everything by removing all seeming contradictions. So when the devotee's desire is one thing and Krishna's desire is different, the devotee's desire will dominate over Krishna's desire because Krishna's desire is to serve his devotee's desire. This is such a heart-touching understanding of what God actually is. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke of him as the transcendental autocrat. And in other religions, he's sometimes thought of as an angry god or he's waiting there. I once saw a little cartoon of the old man God with his big beard is sitting in front of his computer screen, and he's watching this fellow walking down the street. There's a picture of a big building, and there's a piano suspended on a rope, and he's waiting to hit, and he's got his finger on the enter button just as soon as the person's going to walk underneath the piano. He's what? He's the supreme controller, and look what he allows to go on. I've read of people who they acknowledge that God is there, but they don't like him. Look what he did over centuries and centuries. He allowed so many horrible things to go on. So those understandings of the Supreme Absolute Truth They are true on one level, but they are incomplete. And because they are incomplete, they're not satisfying to the heart. But once one understands what this transcendental autocrat is and his nature is, and that how he is actually controlled by the love of his devotees, then Aishwarya Madhurya Karune Sarupa Purnata, he is full of sweetness, he is full of majesty. Aishwarya means opulence or majesty. Sarupa Purnata, this is his actual nature, his full, the fullness, his nature is fully to be full of sweetness and Aishwarya, majesty. But Bhaktivatsalya, this particular quality of Krishna, Krishna leans towards pleasing his devotees. Atma parjanta vadanyata, up to the point of he even gives himself to his devotees. So this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, there are many other aspects. Unlimited, he has unlimited qualities. Unlimited qualities. But this is such an endearing quality. But then when someone would say, how wonderful that he gives himself to his devotees and he's controlled by his devotees and he protects his devotees and the devotees' desires are more powerful than his desires. But I'm not a devotee. So that doesn't, those understanding Krishna's qualities of his, of how intimately he deals with his devotees rather than pleasing the heart, they cause me pain because I am not a devotee. And what is the solace for a devotee who is really sincerely thinking like that? It is that he doesn't consider himself a devotee. Even Mahaprabhu set the example of this. Sitting and crying for Krishna, Krishna. And then when someone said, oh, you have so much love for Krishna, he said, no, this is just a show. I have no devotion for Krishna. This is just to impress others. But the devotee's solace is that he becomes a devotee of a devotee. And then he is under the shelter of Krishna's devotion by doing that. That is the solace for a devotee. And we see that in Prabhupada's life. We see it in all great Vaishnavas' life. Even though they exhibited so much devotion to Krishna, they were considering themselves always devotees of devotees, servants of the devotees. So in this way, going back to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment, this principle wherein the devotee's desire to be saved by Krishna defeats Krishna's desire to protect his devotees. They're both acting quite naturally. The Lord wanted to protect his devotees, and the devotees wanted to enjoy pastimes with Krishna. This was reconciled or harmonized by Krishna's Lila Shakti. So this is the wonder of Krishna, his inconceivable potencies, his inconceivable consciousness, that his shaktis work independently of him. But of course, on another level, nothing works independently of Krishna. But yet, just imagine, you could never be surprised if you were the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that would be something lacking. You always knew what was going to happen. Nothing could ever be new and fresh for you. And Krishna's consciousness is not like that. Of course, we can't fathom Krishna's consciousness. But he allows his shaktis to act independently so that he can enjoy ever fresh pastimes where he doesn't know what's going to happen next. Like if you want, if every movie, if you saw a movie and you already knew everything that was going to happen, there's no pleasure in it anymore. So Krishna simultaneously knows everything. He's sarvagya. He knows everything. But simultaneously, his consciousness can become a muddhata, compressed in such a way that his pastimes even surprise him. So in this circumstance also, Krishna's ever watchful lila shakti, his internal energy, made arrangement to harmonize everything, which ultimately gives Krishna more pleasure. Because everything, again, in Vrindavan, is simply organized for Krishna's pleasure. So, the demon with the boys inside was waiting for Krishna to enter. Krishna saw, this is text 27, that all the cowherd boys who did not know anyone but him as their Lord, just in that little sentence or phrase, there is so much depth. They were fixed only in Krishna. When anything happened that was difficult, they would simply call out Krishna, 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 Krishna. This is, in one sense, the essence of being a devotee. They had no other shelter. They didn't take shelter of their material minds. They didn't take shelter of other desires. They didn't take shelter of avoidance of Krishna. They just simply took shelter of Krishna continuously. This is called Sharanagati. Full dependence on Krishna. Go to obtain Varanam Tata. So Krishna saw that all the coward boys who did not know anyone but him as their Lord had now gone out of his hand. Remember, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were now out of his hand, meaning that he couldn't protect them. His desire wasn't fulfilled. And they were helpless. But they had taken full shelter of him. Because that's the nature of them. And did you want, was that a, you got to say something?
Yeah. Do you have questions now?
No, we have questions later. They were helpless, having entered like straw into the fire of the abdomen of Agasura, who is death personified. It was intolerable for Krishna to be separated from his friends, the coward boys. Therefore, as if seeing that this had been arranged by his internal potency, Krishna was momentarily struck with wonder and unsure of what to do. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, seeing the boys were helpless beyond his control, like jewels slipping from one's hand, and that they were entering like straws into the fire of the snake's stomach, Krishna became filled with compassion. Krishna was astonished at the actions of his lila shakti, or of time, in making the cowherd boys enter the serpent's mouth. What was the cause of Krishna's astonishment? The Lord thought, it is not possible for these cowherd boys to have parabdha karma. How could they be suffering from karma? How is this happening? Besides, the super soul does not give them the tendency for karma, because the super soul is my expansion and does not do anything unfavorable to me. Therefore, the lila shakti has made this seemingly unfavorable arrangement with a desire to put me, who abounds in prema, in a compassionate mood, karuna ras, on seeing this unfortunate situation, because there is a pleasure that comes to the heart when compassion is there. So the lila shakti and everything is always arranged for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna continued thinking, this is Vishwanath talking. It astonishes me how she controls me, the very form of all rasas and the king of all leelas, leela purushottam. Though Krishna's sorrow due to separation from his friends remained, it's somewhat reduced with the rise of astonishment. This is the meaning here. 28. Now what was to be done? How could both the killing of this demon and the saving of the devotees be performed simultaneously? What's the difficulty? If he would just kill the demon, this Agasura, then the boys who were within Agasura might be harmed. So Krishna was considering what would be the best way to protect the boys and yet kill this Agasura. Krishna, being unlimitedly potent, decided to wait for an intelligent means by which he could simultaneously save the boys and kill the demon. Then he entered the mouth of Agasura. Prabhupada's short purport. Krishna is known as Anantavirya Sarvagya because everything is known to him. Because he knows everything perfectly well, it was not difficult for him to find a means by which he could save the boys and at the same time kill the demon. Thus he also decided to enter the demon's mouth. Short purport by Prabhupada. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a comment to 28. What should I do in this dangerous situation? How can I kill the demon without harming the boys? After thinking in this way and finding a solution, Krishna entered the mouth of the serpent. Krishna always knows what's best, what to do in the present and in the future, and he takes away danger for his devotees. So he's called Hari in this verse. So Hari means he who takes away. So what is he taking away in this verse? He's taking away the danger from the boys. It's hinting at that. And also, he's going to take away the life of a demon. And again, this is, remember what we heard yesterday? So interesting how this is going on in the spiritual world. How the boys were experiencing so much ecstasy in playing that they wouldn't stop, and also simultaneously Krishna has to kill demons. So to stop the boys from playing and to kill the demon because it was time for them to eat lunch, Krishna, through the Lila Shakti, inspired Agasura to appear at this time. So the spiritual world works in a very, Goloka Vrindavan works in a very wonderful way. So when Krishna entered, so he entered also the mouth of Agasura. When Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, the demigods hiding behind the clouds exclaimed, "Alas, alas," they were fearful. Because they were fearful of this Agasura. Even though they were drinking Amrita, they were still nevertheless waiting for this Agasura to be killed, so therefore they were watching and wanting Krishna to kill them. And then Krishna entered into the mouth of the demon and they became frightened. What happens if what? What happens? The demon has swallowed Krishna too. But the friends of So the demons went, "Alas, alas," excuse me, the demigods hiding in the clouds exclaimed, "Alas, alas," but the friends of Agasura, like Kamsa and other demons, were jubilant. Now Krishna will be killed. Vishwanath has a comment at 29, Prabhupada doesn't. When Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, the demigods hiding behind the clouds out of fear of Kamsa exclaimed, "Alas, alas." Though the demigods were aware of the Lord's powers because they were also devotees, they shouted in anxiety for Krishna's safety. The intrinsic nature of bhakti is affection. And the nature of affection is to sometimes lose one's power of discrimination. In other words, one's affections overcome, affection overcomes one's intellectual understanding of the situation. They knew Krishna's God, how could he be killed? But yet their affection for him overwhelmed that neutrality and that confidence. They were naturally afraid for Krishna. Kamsa, his Rakshasa friends, and the sons and brothers of Agasura rejoiced on hearing the news from their spies. When the invincible Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, heard the demigods crying, "Alas, alas," from behind the clouds, he immediately enlarged himself within the demon's throat, just to save himself and the coward boys, his own associates, from the demon who wished to smash them. Prabhupada's short purport. Such are the acts of Krishna. Puritranaya sadunam vinashaya sudaskritam. By enlarging himself within the throat of the demon, Krishna suffocated and killed him, and at the same time saved himself and his associates from imminent death, and also saved the demigods from lamentation. So many wonderful things were accomplished at once. Vishwanath comments to 30. Hearing the demigods' cry of dismay and the demons' rejoicing, Krishna immediately enlarged himself within the demon's throat to save himself and the coward boys from being crushed in Agasura's stomach. Krishna did this to reverse the sounds of lamentation from the demigods and the demons' shouts of joy. He wanted the demons to lament and the devotees, the demigods, to be happy and shout in joy. In the pastime of killing, Shakatashura, Chunavarta, and getting tied to the grinding mortar, Krishna remained as a small child and manifested his majestic powers. Therefore, in the thought of Agasura, Krishna expanded his form to show that he did not lack the power to expand himself in size. In the Damodar Leela and other pastimes, the Lord maintained his form as a child because his devotees could taste the full sweetness within that form. Although they experienced astonishment by witnessing Krishna's prowess, it did not disturb their conception of the Lord as their child. But here, in the absence of his parents who were relishing his sweetness, Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, adopted a more common method of just expanding himself to kill the demon. So always there's the consideration of the sweet taste that the devotees are experiencing. So Krishna does everything, even the killing of demons, with great finesse. 31. Then, because Krishna had increased the size of his body, the demon extended his own body to a very large size. Nonetheless, his breathing stopped, he suffocated, and his eyes rolled here and there and popped out. The demon's life air, however, could not pass through any outlet, and therefore it finally burst out through a hole in the top of the demon's head. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a short comment. The demon's throat blocked up, his eyes popped out, and his life air, being trapped in his body with no outlet, finally burst through the Brahmarandram, the hole on top of the head, and he attained perfection. When the demon's life, this is 32, when all the demon's life air had passed away through that hole in the top of the head, Krishna danced over the dead cat, glanced over the dead calves and the coward boys, and brought them back to life. Then Mukunda, who can give one liberation, came out from the demon's mouth with his friends and the calves. No comment by Srila Prabhupada. Vishwanath comments something short. The coward boys and calves who had fainted due to separation from Krishna and from the heat of the serpent's belly were brought back to consciousness by the nectar shower of Krishna's glance. From the body of the gigantic python, a glaring effulgence came out, illuminating all directions, and stayed individually in the sky until Krishna came out from the corpse's mouth. Then, As all the demigods looked on, this effulgence entered into Krishna's body. Text 33, Prabhupada's purport. Apparently, the serpent named Agasura, because of having received association with Krishna, attained mukti by entering Krishna's body. Entering the body of Krishna is called Sayujya Mukti. But later verses prove that Agasura, like Dantavakra and others, received Sarupya Mukti. What is Sarupya Mukti? Yeah, Sarup. They have the same form as Krishna. This has been broadly described by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur with reference from the Vaishnava Toshini, the commentary of Srila Jiva Goswami. Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti, being promoted to the Vaikuntha planets to live with the same four-armed bodily form as Krishna. The explanation of how this is so may be summarized as follows. The effulgence came out from the python's body and became purified, attaining spiritual Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, freedom from material contamination, because Krishna had stayed within the serpent's body even after the serpent's death. One may doubt that such a demon full of mischievous activities could attain the liberation of Sarupya or Sayujya, and one may be astonished about this. But Krishna is so kind that in order to drive away such doubts, he had the effulgence, the individual life of the python, wait for some time in its individuality in the presence of all the demigods. Krishna is the full effulgence, and every living being is part and parcel of that effulgence. As proved here, the effulgence in every living being is individual. For some time, the effulgence remained outside the demon's body individually and did not mix with the whole effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahman effulgence is not visible to material eyes, but to prove that every living being is individual, Krishna had this individual effulgence stay outside the demon's body for some time for everyone to see. Then Krishna proved that anyone killed by him attains liberation, whether Sayujya, Sarupya, Samipya, and whatever. The other incarnations of the Lord, if they kill someone, the person who is killed does not attain liberation. It is only when Krishna kills someone, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jiva Goswami, explains this in one of the sundaras. But the liberation of those who are on the transcendental platform of love and affection is vimukti, special liberation. Thus the serpent first entered the body of Krishna personally and mixed with the Brahman effulgence. This merging is called Sayujya Mukti. But from later verses we find that Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti. Text 38 explains that Agasura attained a body exactly like that of Vishnu. And the verse after that also clearly states that he attained a completely spiritual body like that of Narayan. Therefore, in two or three places, the Bhagavatam has confirmed that Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti. One may then argue, how is it that he mixed with the Brahman effulgence? The answer is that as giant Vijay, after three births, attained Sarupya Mukti and association with the Lord, Agasura received a similar liberation. So it sounded like he went through some stages. So a lot of that is in Vishwanath's commentary as well. We'll go to 34. Thereafter, everyone being pleased, the demigods began to shower flowers from the Nanda Kanana. The celestial dancing girls began to dance, and the Gandharvas, who are famous for singing, offered songs of prayer. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums, and the brahmanas offered Vedic hymns. In this way, both in the heavens and on earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Lord. Purport. Everyone has some particular duty. Prabhupada's words. The Shastra has concluded, Nirupitaha, that everyone should glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his own qualifications. If you are a singer, always glorify the Supreme Lord by singing very nicely. If you are a musician, glorify the Supreme Lord by playing musical instruments. Svanustitasya dhammasya samsidhya haritoshanam. The perfection of life is to satisfy the personality of Godhead. So everyone has their individual abilities, their individual talents, their individual tendencies. So that everyone, as Prabhupada explained, use their natures, their duties, not for their own pleasure, because that won't bring one pleasure, but one should use those to satisfy Krishna, to glorify Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. If we do this, then we become happy. Just as when we put food in the mouth, then the whole body gets nourished. The fingers, the toes, every part of the body becomes nourished. So similarly, if we make our attempt to put glorification where it belongs with Krishna, then the satisfaction is ours. Therefore, beginning from this earth up to the celestial kingdom, everyone engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone is engaged. The decision of all great saintly persons is that whatever qualifications one has acquired shall be used to glorify the Supreme Lord. Idam hipam sam tapasa shrutasya va svatasya siktasya sabhudi dattayo avichito arta kavibir nirupito yarutam masloka gunavarnarvananam. Learned sages have definitely concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, austerity, Vedic study, sacrifice, the chanting of hymns, and charity is found in the transcendental descriptions of the qualities of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. This is the perfection of life. One should be trained how to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's respective qualities. Education, austerity, penance, or in the modern world, business, industry, education, and so on, all should be engaged in glorifying the Lord, then everyone in the world will be happy. Krishna comes, therefore, to exhibit his transcendental activities so that people may have the chance to glorify him in every respect. To understand how to glorify the Lord is actual research work. It is not that everything should be understood without God. That is condemned. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Japastapa Apranasya Vadehasya Mandalam Lokaranjanam. Without Bhagavad Bhakti, without glorification of the Supreme Lord, whatever we have is simply a decoration of the dead body. Prabhupada used to criticize the scientists so heavily, so strongly, that on one morning walk, one disciple of Prabhupada said something very, very disparaging about the scientists. Sort of imitating, trying to imitate Prabhupada's mood. And Prabhupada replied, "No, we give them credit for what they have done. But why do they say there is no God? Why do they say there was no God?" It was like personally painful to Prabhupada to have to confront, because as a lover of Krishna, a lover of God, to say that your lover doesn't exist when you have personal affection dealing, to say bad things about him, it is very painful. So Prabhupada actually experienced that pain, and therefore he was very, very critical of that scientific mood that disparages Krishna, God, the Parameshwar. So that the fault isn't being a scientist, but the fault is being atheistical. That is the fault. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, short comment. The demigods perform worship of Krishna, who creates himself, Svakrita. And the Gandharvas were there. The Vipras mean Brahmins like Vishishtamuni and others, and Gana means everyone else like Garuda. Everyone was glorifying Krishna. So that was the purpose of Prabhupada's purport. Somehow or another, according to who one is, what one's capacity is, what one's abilities are, what one's talents are, if those can be used in the service of Krishna fully, then we, as souls, become happy. And if we don't, if we hold back for ourselves, taking for ourselves, then that miserly mentality is the cause of our unhappiness. Selfishness is causing our unhappiness. So this is wonderful. Such a wonderful, expansive philosophy of the individual. It's like that self. This is really the self-empowerment. When our full natures are engaged, with all our abilities are engaged in Krishna service, then we become an offering. We're able to offer ourselves to Krishna through the external manifestations of our abilities, our offerings. So that takes great devotion to do that, and that great devotion comes, as we heard yesterday, very much from associating with Krishna through the Bhagavatam, associating with Krishna, and associating with Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Prickett, and the commentators, including Srila Prabhupada. Do you want to ask your question now?
Kind of what is coming to mouth. It seems like you're almost like daring Krishna to protect them. And it's like, you know, generally devotees are taught, you know, you should use your common sense.
Yes.
Don't, you know, take undue risks. But we learn from this past time.
So the question is, how much we should imitate the cowherd boys, or how much we should follow their example of full dependence on Krishna and performance of our own duties. It's clear what your point is, a good point. We shouldn't imitate. There's in one part of the one purport of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that we shouldn't challenge the laws of material nature. You know, walk in front of trucks and let Krishna protect me like that. No, we shouldn't be foolish like that. But the cowherd boys were with Krishna, and every single day he was killing a demon, one after another, after another, after another. So they wanted to enjoy that rasa. And again, this is inspired by Krishna's Lila Shakti. So when we want to do something foolish, challenging the laws of material nature, where is our inspiration? Is it actually to give Krishna pleasure? Is it actually inspired by the internal energy? Or is there pettiness, selfishness within our consciousness? Anyone want to add anything more? If I've understood the question. Yeah.
The verse in Gita, Yei Tamam Prapadyate.
Yeah.
That means that as you surrender me, I'll protect you.
This means that he reciprocates. Krishna reciprocates.
So, as it said, they got such great punya that Krishna Chaitanya.
But again, ultimately, of course, it's Krishna's. These things are inspired for the leelas to go on. Do you want to?
When I actually get poisoned,
but from Kaliya?
From Agastya.
Oh yeah. Can they experience? Are they experiencing pain?
Yeah.
Certainly not when they have spiritual bodies. It's difficult for us who are trapped in finite material consciousness to understand exactly what it's like in the spiritual world, obviously, and exactly what it's like having a spiritual body, or being a spiritual body in that sense. But the cowherd boys, whatever experience they're having, it's of love of Krishna. So, you know, in a simple answer to what you asked, do they experience pain when they get poisoned? They can't, because pain comes from the material modes of nature. And they have nothing to do with the material modes of nature.
Yeah, it sends them unconscious.
The consciousness.
They witness Krishna killing.
But they witness being saved by, because they regain consciousness again, and Krishna marches them out. But they don't see. It's a fact. They don't exactly see. And one could say that, as Vishwanath was explaining, that because the boys aren't conscious, therefore he can act he can expand himself without getting in the way of their relationship with him as their friend. The hint of that was there in the comment, because Krishna wouldn't do that in front of Yasoda. Similarly, wouldn't do it in front of the cowherd boys either. Would interfere with the rasa. But, and then what did the Leela Shakti do, the Yoga Maya do? How were they thinking? He didn't expand his form to do it. So if he would have expanded his form, then they would have said, look what Krishna has done. But the cowherd men and the cowherd ladies were thinking, Krishna is able to do this because of one reason or another. The cowherd boys were all helping. They couldn't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was the point of Vishwanath's comment. That he in killing other demons, because there were the devotees present, so as not to interfere with the rasa, their rasa with him, he did things within the realm of his body, with having a body, a human-like body. But here, because there was, as you pointed out, there was no one consciously present, he just expanded himself. So Krishna he did it with the little finger of his left hand when he held up Govardhan Hill. And when they asked him, how are you doing this? And he said, Govardhan Hill has made himself so light, so it's very easy. It's no strain on me at all. Yeah. Yes.
So if demons are killed by the other incarnations of Krishna, and they're not getting any internal liberation, but how do they actually benefit?
But they're benefited, but they're not liberated, perhaps.
But how do they benefit?
That's not clear. I actually, if I I'll read that section sometime, see if there's any mention of that. But there has to be, there's so many benefits to, yeah, there's so many possible benefits. Certainly. Purify. Yeah. Yeah, like that Kamsa previously was a demon who was killed in an incarnation and later killed by Krishna. Yes.
I read that if you leave your body in a tirtha, then you get free from apparat and you get secreted. So if Krishna is, he is a tirtha. So at least they get free from apparat and they get some secreted.
Where did you read that?
It was in a transcribed lecture by someone else called Living Knowledge.
I'd like to read a little more. Now, here's a transition to the next lila. So the demigods are glorifying Krishna. They're dancing. They're showering flowers. When Lord Brahma heard the wonderful ceremony going on near his planet, accompanied by music and songs and sounds of jai, jai, he immediately came down to see the function. Upon seeing so much glorification of Lord Krishna, he was completely astonished. Purport. Here the word anti means near, indicating that even in the higher planetary systems near Brahmaloka, like Mahaloka, Janaloka and Tapaloka, the festival of glorification of Krishna was going on. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Not one, but an infinite number of festivals was produced by the wonderful prayers, melodious instruments, melodious instrumental music, soft celestial songs and shouts of jai, jai. Even in the higher planetary systems like Janaloka, Mahaloka, and Tapaloka, the festival of glorification of Krishna was going on. Brahma heard the singing. While the light of Agasura's soul was passing to Vaikuntha, Brahma became astonished at Krishna's glories and came invisibly to Vrindavan. Or it can mean coming to Vrindavan and seeing Krishna's glories. Brahma was astonished. O King Pariket, when the python-shaped body of Agasura dried up into merely a big skin, it became a wonderful place for the inhabitants of Vrindavan to visit, and it remained so for a long, long time. This incident of Krishna saving himself and his associates from death and giving deliverance to Agasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Brajabhumi after 1 year. This is what Sukadeva is explaining to Maharaj Pariket, as if it had taken place on that very day. Prabhupada's purport. The word mokshanam means liberation. For the associates of Krishna and for Krishna himself, there is no question about liberation. They are already liberated, being in the spiritual world. In the material world, there are birth, death, old age, and disease, but in the spiritual world, there are no such things, because everything is eternal. As for the python, however, by association of Krishna's devotees, Agasura also achieved the same facility for eternal life. Of eternal life. Therefore, as indicated here by the words Atmahi Mokshanam, if the python Agasura could receive eternal association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who already associates of the Lord? Sakam vicharu krita punja punja. Here is proof that God is good for everyone. Even when he kills someone, the one who is killed attains liberation. What then is to be said of those who are already in the association of the Lord? I wanted to actually finish a chapter because there's too much to read, so I won't do that. Krishna willing, I'll do that tomorrow. Any questions or comments? Further questions or comments? Yeah.
It seems that Lord Brahma can see the soul.
Yes. Well, that comes out. Krishna made it visible. The demigods also saw the effulgence. That was Krishna's special arrangement to prove the fact, as Prabhupada explained, that the soul is individual, and also the wonder of Krishna's association of being killed by Krishna. So Krishna allowed that to be seen. That Vishwanath had actually explained it in one comment. Good question. I'm listening carefully. Anyone else have any comments? Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Krishna ki jai, all of his buses ki jai.